or 1-800-HARDWOOD.
Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lori. Well, coming up, the NRA is on the offensive, having a record fundraising month last month. They're also trying to sign up 100,000 new members in the next 100 days. It's clear that the youth-led movement against the NRA, sparked by the Parkland massacre, has energized the NRA to launch a counterattack against the gun control activists. Well, today on Radioactivity, we're going to get a different perspective on guns from former military members who know firsthand what weapons of war can do. First of all, let's go to a video that was shown last month at the March for Our Lives in Washington, D.C., where at least 800,000 people took part in the largest rally against gun violence in U.S. history. There, they saw this video about media figures who oppose gun control.
97% of American voters want universal background checks for gun sales. People can buy weapons of war from the back of an SUV, and no one is checking as to whether or not they have a restraining order, criminal record, or a history of violence. An estimated 22% of all gun transfers take place without a background check. In states that go beyond federal law and require background checks for all handgun sales, there are 47% fewer women shot by intimate partners, 47% fewer suicides, and 53% fewer law enforcement officers killed in the line of duty. Waiting periods work too, and new red flag laws create a way for family members and law enforcement to keep guns away from someone who shows warning signs of violence. Let's do this. Enough is enough. It's time for a change. Never again.
Well, that was a PSA put out by the March for Our Lives people that was played at the rally. Now we're going to hear the media figures who are opposed to gun control from the March for Our Lives video.
They use their media to assassinate real news.
The left has their rigid, radical, anti-gun agenda.
I'm so sick of these elitists looking down on gun owners as if we're just a bunch of rednecks who don't deserve the right to protect and defend ourselves.
They use their schools to teach children that their president is another Hitler.
Hitler took the guns. Stalin took the guns. If you try to take our firearms, doesn't matter how many lemmings you get out there on the street begging for them to have their guns taken, we will not relinquish them.
They use their movie stars and singers and comedy shows and award shows to repeat their narrative over and over again.
What matters is who the enemy is. They're the no-gun people, period.
Listen up. You might have met our fresh-faced flower child president and his weak-kneed Ivy League friends.
You Obama, you might want to suck at one easy, punk!
The only truly free people who have ever walked this earth have been armed people.
They use their ex-president to endorse the resistance, all to make them march, make them protest, make them scream racism and sexism and xenophobia and homophobia, to smash windows, burn cars, shut down interstates and airports, bully and terrorize the law-abiding.
We see what it's like to be French, German, or Belgian, where innocent people cower in fear as evil closes in, doomed to defend their families with rolling pins and broom handles.
The only way we stop this, the only way we save our country and our freedom, is to fight this violence of lies with the clenched fist of truth.
From my cold, dead hands.
Well, Well, that was one of the videos shown at the March for Our Lives featuring NRA spokespeople, including Wayne LaPierre, the president of the NRA, was in there, Dana Loesch, a spokesperson for the NRA, Charlton Heston, Ted Nugent, Alex Jones, and Charlie Daniels were also in that video. Well, joining us now are four military veterans who have some thoughts about the role that guns play in our democracy. They are all members of a group called Florida Veterans for Common Sense, and recently members of their group wrote an op-ed for the Sarasota Herald Tribune calling for a ban on assault weapons. The article said, "We are a nonpartisan group and have been politically active on matters of national security ever since. Recently, Florida Veterans for Common Sense has taken the position that assault weapons should be banned for use by the general public. We are combat veterans who served in Korea, Vietnam, Afghanistan, and Iraq. We have experience with these type of weapons. We know the consequences of using them." Our four guests today are Clint Day, Dan Callahan, Jeff Morris, and Gene Jones. Clint and Dan and Jeff saw combat in Vietnam. Gene Jones is a Vietnam-era veteran. And welcome all to WMNF. Nice to see you. Thank you for coming by.
It's great to be here.
Thank you, Rob.
Thanks for coming by. So first of all, I wondered what your thoughts were about that video that I just played in which Wayne LaPierre suggested that if you live in Germany or France, you're cowering in fear. Any thoughts about that? Dan, do you want to start?
Yes. Wayne LaPierre is an extremist cheerleader who shouldn't be allowed to have a weapon. He avoided service in the military, and his attitude clearly shows you don't want to put a loaded gun in that man's hands.
You wrote this op-ed, or the Veterans for Common Sense had this op-ed in the Sarasota Herald Tribune the other day. Why did your group, Florida Veterans for Common Sense, decide to ask the paper to run the op-ed?
Rob, I'll answer that one. We actually had a vote of our membership because of the Parkland shooting and other tragic circumstances in our country. There was some discussion about this issue. And we actually had a vote, and we didn't know how that vote would turn out because people are voting from all around the state, and we couldn't communicate with everybody. But to our surprise, that vote turned out 95% in favor of banning assault weapons. So the article was a result of that vote.
The three of you that were in Vietnam and saw combat, did you see people wounded from weapons similar to an AR-15?
Rob, Jeff? I was a medic on dust-off up in a DMZ, medical evacuation. And my job, along with three other people, four people in the helicopter, was going out and picking up wounded people on a daily basis. And simply stated, what we did or saw every day was the worst possible thing one could imagine, and it stains your soul. And why we're having this conversation, it's an academic discussion about an AR-15 and constitutional rights. If one person, a listener, could possibly see what these weapons do to the human body, I think the conversation would be much more personal. The entry wound looks like a pencil going in, and the exit wound is the size of a small grapefruit or an orange, and it eviscerates the human body. And the only difference between an AR-15, I understand, and the M16 is the trigger mechanism, where it's automatic versus semi-automatic, meaning as quickly as you pull the trigger, the round goes out. And these AR-15s can destroy human bodies at 800 meters, and they travel three times the velocity of a pistol. And again, if one person could just see what it does, there wouldn't be this academic discussion we're having here today. It ruins a person.
My understanding is that if you're hit by a 22 projectile and one of your organs gets hit, the doctors have a chance to repair that organ. But if your organ is hit by a projectile that's fired by an M16 or an AR-15, that organ is beyond repair.
I can tell you from literally hundreds or thousands of personal experience, a 22 will go through an organ. AR-15 will eviscerate an organ. there won't be anything there to work with.
Because we have people calling into the station all the time saying that an AR-15 is no different than a 22 or a 30-06, that the results are the same.
It's not true. The AR-15 is the exact same weapon that we used in Vietnam, the 16. And what is different is just a trigger mechanism, but they do the same damage, the same caliber bullet. And it should not be in the hands of any civilian. It's just ridiculous. The gun lobby and the NRA have it's imbalanced. They have way too much money behind them, and they perpetrate this bad public practice. There's no question that semi-automatic weapons like the AR-15 and the M4, which is now being issued to troops as their weapon of choice over the AR-16, should not be in the hands of the public. They should be regulated. And to say that they're semi-automatic and therefore exempt is absurd. The bump stock situation in Las Vegas proved that, where they put the bump stock on and he fired fully automatic for an hour. I mean, in the incident that just took place in Nashville at the Waffle House, that was an AR-15. He was using an AR-15. And why is that the weapon of choice? Because it's essentially the same as having an automatic weapon.
Well, we're talking with four military veterans and their call for a ban on assault-style weapons. Our phone number is 813-239-9663. And our email address, if you want to send an email in, send it to dj@wmnf.org. Gene Jones, let me ask you, are you calling for a ban on all weapons, all guns, or are you calling for a ban on just a certain kind of gun?
We are definitely not calling for a ban on all weapons. We're calling for a ban on assault-style weapons, and there's a big difference, as we're discussing today. A lot of our members really enjoy owning and firing guns, but they don't need and they don't ask to have assault weapons. A lot of them are hunters. A lot of them are shotgunners, and they'd like to go to the rifle range and enjoy guns. And guns properly used, we're not against that. We support the Second Amendment. We swore an oath to the Constitution, and that's what we do. But in this discussion that some of these assault weapon supporters are saying that you're not supporting the Second Amendment, et cetera, that's just really, to put it bluntly, out to lunch, because it's just not correct.
Well, let's go back to Wayne LaPierre of the National Rifle Association. This is, speaking of the Second Amendment, this is what he said about gun ownership on the NRA TV website.
We have thoroughly expressed and will continue to express your principles and point of view to the President, members of Congress, and the media. When it comes to the Second Amendment of the United States Constitution, and the due process principles upon which our nation stands, the NRA will never, ever waver. We stand clearly and proudly for individual freedom and the absolute protection of the entire Bill of Rights, including our 5th and 14th Amendments. And when it comes to the issues being debated, we will reject any proposal that fails to respect the ultimate authority of every law-abiding American's individual freedom. At a time when American parents so desperately want their leaders to focus on meaningful solutions to protect their children, we are saddened and frustrated that too many have chosen instead to focus on a politically motivated agenda that has nothing to do with keeping kids safe. When it comes to the safety of our politicians, our celebrities, and our sports stars, the answer is clear: armed security. It's the only security solution that has proven to work, which is why the National Rifle Association has called repeatedly for trained armed security in every American school. But instead of doing whatever it takes to harden our schools immediately, some of the political class offer old, failed gun control policies that represent a direct attack on Second Amendment freedom.
All right, so there's a Wayne LaPierre saying that gun control represents an attack on Second Amendment freedoms. And Clint, what would you say back to Wayne LaPierre about what he just said?
Well, I can't say it on the air. I would say he's wrong and that he's in the pocket of the gun manufacturers. Probably makes about $200,000 a year. I'd like to look that up. Mm-hmm. But how do they influence Congress? They do it through contributions that are just obscene. And my own personal viewpoint is nothing will this change unless people stop voting. And I love Vern Buchanan. He's our congressman in Sarasota. But he takes contributions from the NRA. If somebody takes a contribution from the NRA, it's all public knowledge, stop voting for them. Until they cut off the money line, it's not going to happen. And that's really the only weapon we have. But the reason it's crazy is that the Second Amendment, and I'm not a lawyer, Gene is, says the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. That's it. What's your definition of arms? Back in those days, it was a musket that took a minute and a half at the fastest to reload. I mean, it's insane to think that that part of our Constitution applies to state-of-the-art weaponry that's being produced today. I was just told that a new plant is being built in Miami to manufacture the AR, K, what am I thinking of?
AK-47,
the Russian rifle, and they're going to export it, but it's going to be right in Miami. That is a lethal weapon, actually the weapon of choice for assault shootings around the world, particularly in the Middle East. So I would say that Wayne LaPierre is full of hot air.
Well, when you said that, Clint, though, when you read the Second Amendment, part of the Second Amendment, the first part says a well-regulated militia being necessary to a free society. The NRA, when they built their building in Washington, D.C., decided not to ensconce that on the wall above the entrance, but they only kept the second part of the amendment. Does well-regulated militia apply, or should we throw that part of the Second Amendment out?
It does apply. I mean, Los Angeles police about 10 years ago didn't have the weapons to counter a couple of Hispanic men that had robbed the bank, and they were being killed with the power of their weaponry. So as a result of that, not only the LAPD, but police departments across the nation got heavy-duty weaponry to counter that situation. That's the well-regulated militia. The police departments, the National Guard, and the people that we rely on to protect us, it's not a homeowner.
One thing that Wayne LaPierre said there is that we leave it up to the individual, the ultimate authority of the law-abiding individual, to decide what kind of weapons they should have, which goes to your point, Clint, and that is, at what point do you stop? At what point do you say, okay, you're allowed to have a pistol, you're allowed to have a shotgun, you can have a .22, but then how high up do NRA members think that you're allowed to own? Should you be allowed to own a bazooka? Should you be allowed to own a flamethrower? Should you be allowed to own a tank?
It's not rocket science. When the weapon has a caliber bullet, you know, I think it's 5-something that a NATO round has, and they put it in a semi-automatic weapon that can be easily an automatic, it's gone too far. Why have all these recent shootings involved an AK-15? Why? It's a weapon they should not have. They choose it specifically to do the most damage.
What do you say to people that say, oh, you're not patriotic, you're not abiding by the Second Amendment, you're all veterans, you all served in the military, and you all... I think are pretty proud of your record, but when somebody says, oh, you're unpatriotic, that you're calling for gun control, you're calling for a ban on assault-style weapons, what do you say back to them?
Rob, basically that's an insult, and we swore an oath to uphold the Constitution, and we put a uniform on to uphold that Constitution, and basically we wrote a check to our government for our life, if that was necessary.
A blank check for your entire life.
A blank check. And it's absolutely disgusting. If you check into the records of so many of these people, not all of them, but a lot of these people that are pushing to have these assault weapons on the street, they have no military background whatsoever. A lot of them avoided military service because they had a boil on their butt or something like that. And, Rob, that really, the public needs to stand up to these people and call them out for the ones that are not patriotic. That's what should be done. I mean, we're really tired of this kind of foolishness coming down. When they talk about the Second Amendment, they don't understand the Second Amendment, because if they would read the Heller case, Judge Scalia, the most conservative judge on the court at the time, wrote very specifically that you can regulate firearms. Of course you can regulate firearms. Go out and try to buy a machine gun.
You can't do it.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Well, our phone number, I'll tell you what, Jeff Haynes is our phone producer today, but he just has fallen sick, so he's not here. So we're going to ask people, if you want to call in with a question or a comment, you can call us up at 813-239-9663 and just let the phone ring, and then I promise I will pick it up. We're without our phone producer today, Jeff Haynes, unfortunately. 813-239-9663. David writes this. He said, I'm sure that Dana Loesch of the NRA knows a lot about clenched fists. She is likely an expert on fisting. Oh, David, don't write that. And the video you played sounded like Nazi or Scientology propaganda. I'm sorry I read that. And then John wrote this. Sorry I couldn't call in, but I'm in a meeting. I was wondering if your guest could comment on muzzle velocity as it relates to rifles like the AR-15, and if that could be a determining factor when we look at assault weapons bans. I think what John is getting at is, should we ban weapons based on the muzzle velocity? Does that make any sense?
I think that could very well be one of the factors in distinguishing an assault weapon from a hunting rifle. And I think for too long we've allowed the NRA to shape the argument so that they would say that we can't make a distinction between an assault rifle and a hunting rifle. And yes, we can. Muzzle velocity would be one aspect of it.
Well, again, our phone number is 813-239-9663. And caller, you're on WMNF. What's your name and where are you calling from?
It's Elizabeth in Riverview.
Hi, Elizabeth. What would you like to ask our guest?
I would like to ask how in the world those weapons got on the market in the first place.
How did they get on the market in the first place?
There's no excuse for those things.
Yeah, I got to say, when I was growing up, you could go to the store, you could buy a bunch of rifles, you could buy a bunch of handguns, but you couldn't buy something like an AR-15.
All those things.
Greed.
I understand that, but how did those weapons of war get turned onto the civilian market?
Lack of regulation and capitalistic greed.
Oh, God. Well,
all right, Elizabeth, thanks a lot. Thanks. It's a good question. How did they get on? And the history of that should be interesting. Well, our guests are several Vietnam veterans, Clint Day, Dan Callahan, and Jeff Morris, and Gene Jones. They're all members of a group called Florida Veterans for Common Sense. Recently, members of their group wrote an op-ed for the Sarasota Herald Tribune calling for a ban, a total ban, on assault weapons. And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. And a caller, you're on MNF. What's your name and where are you calling from?
I'm Tim in Dunedin.
Hi, Tim. Thanks for calling in. What's your question or comment?
Thanks, Rob. First off, I want to say I appreciate all the service that the gentleman did. Just a couple comments. First off, they didn't talk about loads as far as weaponry is concerned. While I agree that the AR is a much faster velocity weapon, but specifically the loads that go into it are the most devastating. Like a 22 and a 22 hollow point are separate in what they do. A straight 22 will, like you said, go through, but a hollow point will do more damage. Of course, not like the AR-15. That's the first point. Secondly is, 90 people a day on average die in America strictly just from handguns, period. And then another 130 a day on opioids, as we all know. I mean, this is, I'm like even further, gentlemen. I think we need to reconsider our Wild Wild West outlaw attitude in the United States with people who own guns. 300 plus million guns, almost equaling the population of our United States. I'm a proud American, a son of an Air Force major who flew in Vietnam as a former control officer. He is a NRA man and does have three AR-15s, and we debate this back and forth. But his point is, I am not a criminal. I use it strictly for Keith Craig, all kinds of things of that nature. He likes the targeting and the distance and things like that. I'll hang up and you guys can comment. Thanks so much.
All right, Tim, thanks a lot.
All right, you bet.
Well, as we said before, we're not in favor of banning all weapons, but you make a very excellent point, and that is, in our country, we have to change this Wild West psychology that we have. People drive down the road and they wave their pistols at people to show that they're macho, And we have to change our attitude that we're not relying on weapons all the time. And, you know, this inciting videos like we heard this morning, that kind of stuff, it needs to stop. I mean, that is really not helping our country over the long run. We need to be working together as a country to do things like have a better education system and a better health care system instead of trying to militarize ourselves. And basically, Clint made a very good point. The NRA, their objective now, they're not representing the gun owner. If you think about it, they're representing the gun manufacturers. And as Clint hit the nail right on the head, capitalist greed. It's greed. Somebody's making money from this. And you can bet that all these spokesmen going around pushing these guns, in the background, there's money.
And it's just flowing into Congress through the NRA. I mean, the money, the gun manufacturers and the far sort of imbalanced gun lobby put their money into the NRA, and the NRA then has full legal ability to donate to every campaign. And they just don't donate to conservatives. They donate to liberals in the Congress. And it's if you look at the record, the amounts are just staggering. You know, $50,000 to the Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, and he's really one of the lesser contributors. So that's a pervasive situation that has to be stopped. And that can be stopped by not voting for anyone that takes money from the NRA. Now, I would like to at some point interject an interview I had Saturday with a retired SEAL. Navy SEALs are the elite in the military. And they, this particular guy, and I, he's in my entrepreneurship class at Hillsborough Community College, which is a State of Florida grant for veterans and active duty. And Mario, who is the retired SEAL, said when he went to SEAL school, there were 271 classmates. And when he graduated, he was one of 31. That tells you how elite he is. And he retired out of it for 20 years. So both Afghanistan and Iraq heritage. And Mario said that he agrees with our position, that there should not only be a ban on assault weapons, but that there should be training and licensing for anyone using a semi-automatic weapon. And a semi-automatic weapon is the AK-15 or the M4, which is going to become the weapon of the soldiers in the field. And he said as part of the vetting, he felt the applicant should be required to provide their purpose and attend a class. And in this class, the teacher would assess their psychological fitness, you know, during the day-long class, and then they would leave with a thing like a driver's license that shows they're entitled to have it. Otherwise, they just use all the others. You've got plenty of hunting rifles and pistols, and it's endless, the amount. And he went a step further. He said that he thought anyone who had a $1,500 ability to buy an AK-15 should also buy a stand-up safe for $1,000, and put these weapons in a safe so they're under a control that only he can access. And just while I'm at it, I might as well tell you, I sent this information out to some of our members, and of course it wasn't universally one of our members named Glenn said, I disagree with Mario. Why should I have to go through all the blank blank to buy and own a semiotic weapon? A $1,000 safe, what's next? ATF coming to your house to make sure you have weapons. So, you know, the only reason I bring this up is this is coming from a guy who's seen lots of combat, lots of assault weapons, and that was his opinion.
I want to ask you something about what Wayne LaPierre also said, and Jeff, maybe I could toss this to you. LaPierre said, look, the gun control people have been ignoring what we've called for. We've called for hardening of schools and more security around schools. The NRA says schools are gun-free zones. They're an easy target. We've heard that over and over again. What do you think about, you know, that is a solution to put more armed guards around schools?
These recent events that we've been focusing on are dealing with AR-15s. And one has to ask the question, again, if it has a muzzle velocity of 3,000 feet per second and can pierce armor and helmets, steel helmets, at 800 meters, why are we having this discussion? It's almost, I have a hard time getting my hands around it. We have to have, obviously, the way our society is developed, to have school resource officers who are equipped to handle the situation. But why should they be faced with having to deal with that type of an assault?
Mm-hmm.
In this recent event in Parkland, it just came out yesterday, this gentleman, I'm being candid, but kind, who caused this issue to develop, and we're having this discussion about this most recent massacre, he never even went into the classrooms. He just walked down the hallway and started shooting. He wasn't in one classroom. How can a school resource officer be equipped to handle that?
Dan, it seems too that when schools are called gun-free zones and with multiple targets, multiple soft targets, it seems like every restaurant I go into, I mean, yesterday or the other day there was a shooting at a Waffle House. The plaza in Las Vegas, churches. I mean, it seems like most of our society, department stores, they're all gun-free zones. They're all, places that have soft targets in them. So when Wayne LaPierre says, well, schools are, easy prey, well, I'd say 90% of our society is unguarded by riflemen.
Absolutely. Yeah. We can't buy into the NRA's argument that more guns will make us safer. It just won't. So, in fact, if we have school resource officers, as we do in Florida, in every school, and they're armed with a pistol, should we give them, an AR-15? No, that argument won't work, because, as you point out, the target will simply be something else that's easier for them to access, a nursing home. So we can't buy into that. And I'd like to relate a thing that happened back in 1971. I'd gotten out of the Marine Corps and joined a Green Beret unit up in New York. And we were activated to go into the Attica State Prison to put down the uprising with the help of the law enforcement. We had a long discussion for hours. Most of us were, in fact, in Vietnam. We had seen combat. And we had a choice of two weapons. We could take an M1 rifle from World War II, which we all knew very well, or we could take the M16. And the decision was made to take the M1. We were going into a prison where 1,200 inmates were on the loose, and they were sort of the least among us. Most of us didn't think of them as ordinary people like us. But we still made the decision that if we went in with the M16 and had to fire our weapons, we would be taking multiple casualties among these inmates because that bullet would just, at that velocity, would ricochet off those stone walls, and we would see two or three or four people falling down every time we fired. So with those individuals, we made the decision the M1 was the more appropriate weapon, not the M16.
Hmm. Which raises a question. You all are familiar with war. We watch these TV shows and these movies where James Bond, with one single shot, can take out a perpetrator 300 yards away with his pistol, which, kind of weird. My impression, I have not been in combat, I was not in the military, but my impression of war is that it's chaos, and that once guns are pulled, you don't know who the good guys are and who the bad guys are. It's a chaotic situation, rarely depicted on television or in the movies.
That's why they call it, in the Constitution, a regulated militia, because there's a lot of training that goes on in being issued a weapon. You know how to field strip it and clean it and oil it and put it back together in less than a minute. And so you have that training, and no one should have one of those weapons without it. And that was the SEAL's point, that you should go through the training and get licensed to use it. But you don't need it. There's no need for a semi-automatic assault weapon unless you're in law enforcement or the military. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of excellent... I have a brother-in-law who loves skeet shooting, and he's got like three or four different shotguns that do different things for his clay pigeons. And he loves the sport. He goes out every week, and he even bought a special dune buggy to drive around the course. But, he would agree with me that the idea that you need something that's going to kill 10 people in 20 seconds is absurd. It's a sport. It's not to kill people.
We're talking with several members of Florida Veterans for Common Sense. They are Clint Day, Dan Callahan, Jeff Morris, and Gene Jones. Gene, if people want to find out more about your group's position on banning assault rifles, weapons, how can they find out more?
They can go to our website and FloridaVeteransForCommonSense.org, or they can send an email to flveterans@aol.com.
Let's go back to the phones. We do have a phone producer today, and I don't know who it is, but boy, thank you for coming in. Let's go to Jake, who's out there. Jake, you're on WMNF. What city are you in?
I'm in St. Petersburg. How y'all doing?
Good. So what would you like to ask our guests?
Well, for starters, what's an AK-15? Because I've only ever heard of AK-47.
What's the question? I'm sorry.
What's an AK-15? I think somebody might have misspoke and said.
I think so as well. The beginning of the conversation you guys were having was very emotional about the impact of a round out of an AR-15 in a war zone compared to the impact of a .22. Yet I'm surprised to consider that a lot of short barrel rifles fire .22 caliber rounds. Matter of fact, a lot of the rifles that are used in violent situations carry .22 caliber rounds because .22 caliber rounds are very cheap and easy to buy. So I just want to point out some of the ill information that's going on in this gun talk. We do like to play to the emotions of situations like this. It makes people very easily influenced. But I don't fully disagree with you. I think that we do live in a violent time and we do need some sort of societal reform. However, I don't think that comes in the form of banning civilians' rights to own guns. If you want to ban weapons, I would say that any short barrel rifle should not be in use unless it is in use by an in-uniform military officer, either defending an invasion or upholding a military coup. Because outside of that, removing guns isn't going to remove violence from people. You can go to Home Depot and for $5 get the fixings for mustard gas and go kill 30, 40 people in a closed environment. Like, I just, a few things I want to point out here. It seems like it's a bit of a one-sided discussion, and there's some objective information that's being left out.
Well, I just would like to point out again, we agree with you completely. What we're saying is assault weapons only. All the other weapons are...
You can make a Glock into a short barrel rifle now.
Well,
they have fittings where you can make a Glock pistol into a short barrel rifle. So what's defined as an assault weapon is really far too broad.
But the Glock only holds 9 rounds, doesn't it?
Unless you put an extended magazine in it, and then it holds 30.
Well, I mean, you can alter any of these weapons, but the bump stock, made the AR 15 an automatic weapon in Las Vegas. I mean, you can make changes to anything mechanical, but what we're saying is to be able to go in and buy an AR-15 is ludicrous. They were banned during the Clinton administration. They were successful in banning them for 20 years, assault weapons. And
I'm sorry to interrupt you, sir, but to buy a short barrel rifle and a high capacity magazine, you need a federal firearms license, which requires you to have a dossier with the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. Well, I feel like that's more than enough regulation for owning such an item. And I definitely agree with the fact that training is necessary. I'm the manager of an amateur marksman who shoots in the Three Gun League, which is a very, very small sports network, but it's inhabited by off-duty police officers, rocket scientists, chemists, and family. I've seen whole families at events like this with 9-year-olds shooting the same guns their parents are. It's a very polite experience.
Yeah, we're not trying to impact that at all. We're only trying to impact
the weapons are the problem.
It's not the weapons. It's the assault weapons. They should not be in the hands of civilians.
All right, Jake, thanks a lot. Thanks for calling in. All right, he hung up. Jake, thank you. Bill in St. Pete writes, I'm a former infantry officer who spent a year in the bush in Vietnam with the 1st Infantry Division. I hold expert badges for every projectile launcher from a Colt 45 to a 90-millimeter recoilless rifle. Returning home, I went hunting with childhood friends. An hour or so into the hunt, it dawned on me that I had spent a year hunting human beings. I never found sport hunting interesting thereafter. Yes, I own a few firearms. I haven't touched them in years. My stance is 5 rounds, bolt, lever, or pump. If an owner can't be satisfied in the woods or the range, there's a screw loose. In my judgment, the NRA is a fearmonger.
I offer the fact that he's an educated opinion. We totally agree with him, but he did his duty in Vietnam, and he knows the horrific consequences of assault weapons.
And let me just play. This is all over the internet. But if you buy currently a semi-automatic rifle, you can easily convert it without a bump stock to firing automatically. And I'm just going to play the sound. There are hundreds of these videos on the internet. There's lots of ways to do it, including attaching your fingers and thumb to the gun correctly into your belt. But this is how one person was able to convert his semi-automatic rifle to an automatic weapon. And let me just ask, you know, I'm going to play the sound of gunfire. Just ask, is that okay? I mean, with this group? Okay,
we promise not to hit the deck.
All right, so what we have here is a standard non-full automatic AR-15 and a standard non-full automatic AK-47, or technically a N-92, but these are both registered SBRs. That does nothing to the cyclic rate. So I'm going to show you how to bump fire these guns without that evil, crazy bump fire stock. So as you see, standard stock. Let's move the AR. Again, you got safe fire, no middle position, not full auto. This one will probably work a little better. All right, so as you can see, semi-auto rifles really don't need a bump fire stock to shoot fast. So,
you know, those videos are all over the internet, and it shows that you can take a standard rifle that you're supposed to be able to shoot one shot at a time and easily convert it without a bump stock into automatic fire. It's frightening to hear that.
That's why they should be included in assault weapons and banned.
Well, we're talking with members of the Florida Veterans for Common Sense. Recently, their group wrote an op-ed for the Sarasota Herald Tribune calling for a ban on assault weapons. And our guests are Dan Callahan, Clint Day, Jeff Morris, and Gene Jones. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address, dj@wmnf.org. And you are listening to WMNF in Tampa. Let's go to Joe. Joe, what city are you in?
I'm traveling on the interstate heading to St. Pete Beach.
Hi, Joe. What would you like to say?
First off, I do want to thank these gentlemen for their service. We all owe a debt of gratitude to them. But I wanted, and I'm a gun owner and wouldn't be opposed to an assault weapons ban, but I think we need to make sure that we're keeping everything honest and everybody being reasonable. When the gentleman mentioned that we should take away Wayne LaPierre's gun, that doesn't seem reasonable to me. Wayne LaPierre is asking for due process, but this gentleman says we should just take away his gun because we don't agree with him. That doesn't make sense to me, and it makes you guys look extreme.
I don't recall saying that.
Well, I do recall making
the show. He said Wayne LaPierre is somebody who should not be allowed to own a gun, and we should take his gun away.
Well, Clint, you did say something at the top of the show about Wayne LaPierre. I believe it was you who didn't serve in the military, or was it Dan? Dan, do you want to just refresh us? What
sure.
did you say?
Yeah, I did make a comment. That was after the rant from Mr. LaPierre and the other people that were speaking on that little clip. My argument was that people who are yelling like that, that's not a person I would hand a gun to.
So you think anybody who yells should not own a gun?
No, what I'm saying
that
is...
That doesn't seem reasonable. That seems extreme. And when you have people on... And then you have other people who say, oh, we don't want to take everybody's gun away.
You didn't
but
feel...
You know that there's a large percentage of people who do want to take everybody's gun away. So to try and be dishonest and say that nobody wants to do that... is not helping your cause. It's better just to be honest.
And I don't believe that's true for a moment.
If you want to take away somebody's gun because they yell, that means you want to take away everybody's gun, because I think everybody yells at some point or another.
All right. Well, Joe, thanks a lot. Thanks for your comments. Dan, what do you really want?
Yeah, my point was that what we saw in that rant was people who are screaming and yelling about their right to have a weapon. I had a concealed weapons permit in New York State where it was very difficult to get, and I have one here in Florida. when I'm up in upstate New York, I'm surrounded by friends and family who hunt all the time. I'm not in favor of taking anybody's weapon. And let's be clear, we've never seen a weapon taken from an individual, as the right-wingers are saying is going to happen or will happen. It just won't. We do have the Second Amendment, and I don't believe that the Second Amendment is actually being followed by people like LaPierre. Let's remember that well-regulated militia phrase that's in there. That seems to be ignored by him.
We're going to go back to the phones. You are listening to WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. But before we do, Gene, I want to ask you, Give Day Tampa Bay is next week, and you're one of the charities on Give Day Tampa Bay. Just remind us of what your nonprofit does and how they can give on Give Day.
Well, Rob, this is actually a plug for our sister corporation, Florida Veterans for Common Sense Fund, which is a corporation that we set up as a 501c3 to totally support veterans. And we have several ongoing projects. The most important one right now is Green Path Veterans Farms. And instead of talking about weapons and all those things, this is an opportunity for veterans to get out and be involved in urban farming and work with other veterans, and we find that the camaraderie is really valuable to the veterans and for the other people that we work with on that farm project. So we would encourage people to donate to Florida Veterans for Common Sense Fund. You can go to the Sarasota Community Foundation, the Giving Challenge, and just plug in Florida Veterans for Common Sense Fund, and you can make your donation. But it's only going to be for one day, and that's May 1st at noon until May 2nd at noon. So please go and donate. And we have something very exciting to report, Rob, like some other nonprofits have done. We have the Patterson Foundation in Sarasota is matching $100 up to $100. So if you make a $25 donation right away, that's worth $50. But we've even got better. We have a group in Manatee County that has a $7,500 matching grant on the table, and all we have to do is match that. So if you give $100, that's worth $400 toward that match. So please help us out, help some veterans, and we appreciate you allowing us to make that promo.
You do a lot of good work on behalf of veterans.
I'd just like to add that Gene and the Green Path Farms hire homeless veterans, and they've helped a lot of them.
Yeah, it's really important work. Let's go back to the phones. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa. Let's go to Bob. Bob, what city are you in?
I'm in Lakeland.
Bob, thanks for calling in. What would you like to say?
Yeah, I'd like to emphasize the fact that about the velocity of the AR-15 is 3,200 feet per second, which is about 5,000 miles an hour. And to put it in perspective, if you had a 20-foot powerboat doing 15 miles an hour, it has a certain amount of wake. If you took the same boat and made it do 60 miles an hour, imagine the wake that it's throwing out behind it. Well, that's what happens when the AR-15 round hits the body is a wake speed. That's one of the reasons why the exit wound is so large. Also, the fact that an AR-15, that when the bullet leaves the muzzle, after it travels about 70 feet, all rifles have a rotation. The bullet has a rotation. The AR-15, the bullet starts to tumble end over end. So when it hits a viscous body, you don't know where that bullet's going. I've actually seen a entry wound that hit a guy in upper left breast and exited his right butt cheek. Now, that bullet is spinning and tumbling and doing 5,000 miles an hour. It tore up, everything inside this guy. And that's one of the differences that makes the AR-15 so lethal as compared to, say, a .22 caliber bullet. It's only doing about a fourth of the muzzle velocity.
Bob, are you also a Vietnam vet?
Absolutely. I was a sergeant of military police at Quan Tri and Dong Ha on the DMZ.
All right. Well, Bob, thanks. Thanks for calling in with your expertise.
Yeah, and I expect these guys to probably get a check from me as soon as I can find them on the web.
Oh, well, thank you very much. That will help some veterans, I promise.
Thank you.
And I think that you may have recruited another member.
That's even better.
Bob, thanks a lot. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thank you, Bob.
And you are listening to WMNF. Let's go to Guy. And Guy, where are you?
Tampa, Florida.
All right, Guy, thanks for calling in. What would you like to say?
First, I want to say respect to all vets, but especially the Vietnam era vets. You guys went through a unique hell, and I appreciate your service.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
The second thing I want to put to you is this idea. I think the focus on the guns is misplaced. The focus should be on the person using the gun, the mentality and the mindset. I firmly believe that people need to be held responsible for how they use a gun. If you misuse a gun and you kill somebody out of hand, like a mass shooting at a restaurant or a school or whatever else, there should be no ifs, ands, and buts. That person needs to be executed because they're a manslayer. You see where I'm coming from?
Yes.
People need to know that there's going to be consequences in no uncertain terms, whether you're a policeman, whether you're a citizen, whether you're a young person or whatever else, they need to be executed, and everybody needs to see that. So everyone knows, if you missed, use a gun. You can have a gun, no problem. But if you misuse the gun in any way, shape, or form, like shooting somebody in the back when they're running away from you, and they're not putting you in danger across the board, doesn't matter who you are, your life is required. How do you guys feel about that idea?
Well, what about the Las Vegas 72 people killed? The guy killed himself before the police could get to him while the door was being banged down.
Yeah, there is that. One of the things I've been noticing here lately is that, okay, I'm a black guy. When I grew up in my community, we never really looked at killing ourselves because, as a Christian, I believe suicide sends you to hell. A lot of people today don't believe those ideas, and they have no problem killing themselves. I'm very concerned that there's very little value placed on life, and I don't blame that on computer games. I don't blame that on television or movies. No, this is coming from inside of people from another source, and I don't know what it is.
All right, Guy, thank you so much for your comments. Thanks.
All right,
so there's one idea, death penalty for people that misuse guns. What about insurance on guns? Do you think requiring everybody who has a gun to have some sort of insurance so that all life, all damage that could be inflicted by that gun is covered by an insurance policy?
Yes, I would have added that to Clay's list of requirements for people that possess weapons like the AR-15. Yes, if they were required to have insurance, it might give them pause to think about how the weapon is used. But thinking about the comments from the gentleman who just called, I was so very pleased to see that the students from Parkland, when they went to Washington, D.C., they sort of opened up the conversation to killings in neighborhoods around the country. These are individual killings. They're horrible, and there's many of them. We're constantly put in a situation where we're reacting to these things. If we were to ban specifically the assault weapons, that's one big step in the right direction. But obviously, we have a much more serious problem with guns in this country.
You know, I started to make this point when the caller that disagreed with me called in, but I wasn't able to complete it. During the Clinton administration, there was a ban on assault weapons, and the power of the NRA was such that they put a time limit on it. I think it was 20 years. I could be wrong. But all these shootings with AR-15s have been since that ban was lifted. And these guns have actually been purchased since that time. And that's, you know, it was working.
Just quickly, we're almost out of time. What would you do with people who already have AR-15s? What would you say to those folks?
Buy them back.
There would be a buyback program.
Yeah. Fair market price.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Gene Jones, if people want to find out more about your group, Veterans for Common Sense, how can they find out more?
They can send an email to flveterans@aol.com. And that'll certainly get them started. Or they could try a phone call, 941-349-5131.
And Gene, are you proposing legislation? Are you going to call on your members of Congress or your member of Congress to propose legislation?
We probably will, Rob, but that may be a little bit ahead of us right now because, we have no paid staff.
Yeah,
we're all volunteer group.
So. I'm sorry to say we're out of time, but Gene Jones, Jeff Morris, Clint Day, and Dan Callahan, thank you all for coming by WMNF.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rob.
They're all members of Florida Veterans for Common Sense. Recently, they wrote an op-ed for the Sarasota Herald Tribune calling for a ban on assault weapons. We'll link to that article on our website. If you want to comment about today's show, please call us up at 813-238-8001. Record your comment on extension 115. We'll play your comments back tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Now stay tuned for the Midpoint program with Noah, this is WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM, and Nola will be here in just a minute. But before we do that, first, the NPR News, the latest news from Washington, D.C.